Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Join us tonight for another hour of life, dinner style discussion and learning. Not a friend, but bringing a spiritual perspective to our discussion. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling us at 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or go online to the chat area. We would love to hear from you. So let's get started as we introduce our diners for tonight's cafe. Robin?
Okay. Thank you so much, Gloria. Thanks. That was Gloria. Hey, Gloria, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself since you did such a marvelous job introducing us tonight.
Well, this is
Hello.
Gloria, and I'm talking to you live from San Diego.
Okay. And we have a marvelous switchboard lady. Her name is Kathy. Kathy, introduce yourself, please.
Hi. I'm Kathy Elliott, and I'm running the switchboard tonight. My background is spreading gifts of laughter, joy, and love throughout the world.
Okay. And yeah. Mr. Jamie, JT is on the call. Jamie, can you introduce yourself, please?
I am here, and I brought some nectarines with me.
Okay.
And is that a drum or a cymbal? It sounds like I get a little introduction there. Everybody's got one.
It's a waiter.
From way back. Oh, it's your waiter.
That's
okay.
The waiter. Wait.
The glass
goodness.
Is being dropped.
How's this, sir?
Okay, Jamie is from Seattle, and he has a wonderful a tattoo studio up in the Seattle area. And my name is Robin Macevich. I am a florist in Riverside, California. And I'd like to be the hostess with the mostest and just kind of guiding our conversation a little bit and kind of just making sure that we have our appetizers, our main course, and we always have dessert. So we love our dessert. So let's go ahead and get started. We've got a lot of things that we're going to be covering tonight. The first thing Easter afternoon, all of a sudden, we just kind of had an earthquake on our hands down in the Baja area here. And Jamie, I had asked him to go ahead and give us kind of an update. He's our news anchor, so he can go ahead and give us a kind of an update on what we know right now. So Jamie, take it, please.
Boy, you put me on the spot there with the news anchor.
I am, and you can handle it. Go ahead.
Well, I didn't feel the earthquake like some of you, perhaps. That was Sunday, April 4th, and I think in the afternoon, if I'm not mistaken, a powerful earthquake shook along Mexico's Gulf of California, which is also called the Sea of Cortez. It was first reported at a 6.9 magnitude. It was upgraded to 7.2 by the U.S. National Earthquake Information Center. Centered northeast of Santa Isabel in Baja, California, roughly 330 miles southeast of Tijuana. I'm sure you've heard of Tijuana, or TJ as it's referred to. Kind of the sister city on the border there I believe. It's about 460 miles from Phoenix. It was also felt in Las Vegas. And I believe even there's a report up here, somebody's big pool, they felt they were in an indoor pool and it sloshed very vigorously about 15 minutes after the earthquake had done so. It would be time for a wave. But there was no tsunami reported with this at all. They think the earthquake was on the Laguna Cedala Fault. They're not sure because there's so many different tectonic plates that meet there. The Salada Fault is about 43 miles long, and it straddles the border there of California and Mexico.
Wasn't they saying there was like 500 earthquakes?
Well, there were measured at least 500 aftershocks. And there was
500 aftershocks.
Ooh. Well, you know, they were in varying degrees. This also says here it was the strongest of four quakes of 5-point magnitude that struck the area in a 45-minute period. So there were some quite large tremors there as well. This is the largest earthquake in this area in 18 years. And again, it was followed by a multitude of aftershocks. Scientists also say there's no connection between the Haitian, the Chile, and the Baja quakes because they're on different fault systems. Also, the quake was quite powerful, but the quake was quite powerful, but the depth is what really determines the destructive quality of the earthquake. So the more shallow it is or closer to population areas, of course, the death toll would be higher. There were only two reported deaths in this Baja earthquake versus, I believe there was 500 or so in Chile, and I don't know the exact number in Haiti. Let me see. I had one other thing. Oh, yes. Also, in regards to some of our other discussions, I saw a little article. It's about Alaska volcanoes. There's another one called Mount Redoubt that apparently it just started to erupt, and that's near Anchorage. It's about 100 miles southwest of Anchorage. It has had some prior activity in January, but nothing on this scale. So they're kind of keeping that under, well, they're trying to check that out as well. But it seems like there's quite a bit of seismic activity all over the place.
Yeah, there was an earthquake in Indonesia today.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, when I got home, there was I don't know how big it is or how the exact, but in Indonesia, there was another earthquake. Yes, are correct.
A 7-something or 6.9, something like that.
Right.
Yeah. Now, was that in a populated area as well, or?
Go ahead.
Yeah. I didn't get that from there. I was looking for it. I didn't see that.
All I saw was kind of a very brief thing, a flash, and I didn't see any other information. It must not be as bad because I haven't seen any, like breaking news or anything.
Yeah. Right, and they said no threat of tsunami. That was good.
Right, right.
Okay, go ahead.
Why is it going back to the one with Baja? I mean, the fact that it was inland and, we had it pretty much happening in the middle of the desert area that was outside of Mexicali.
Right, outside Mexicali, and I believe they said it traveled a direction into the desert instead of towards, there was a very populated area as well, like 900,000 people, but it most of the energy was dissipated in the desert, I believe.
Yeah, I just think of what a blessing that was on how it just, because it was kind of the whole thing of like, once it started happening, I had actually gone out to go eat with my daughters, and it was just interesting to see because everybody and on all the different, tables are just like, okay, where were you when it happened? So it was kind of like, it was a big check-in, and for me, it was just like, I was taking a nap, so it was like, having a vibrating bed. I was like, hey, this is kind of cool. Remember the old days when you'd go to the hotels in Vegas and they'd have
the magic fingers.
Quarters and the magic fingers would go off. So, like, Kevin's going to give us some sound effects on that. But it was just this long kind of shake the bed thing. And it was funny because I thought it was my dog because, sometimes she'll scratch herself and she'll lean up against the bed. So I thought it was her for a few seconds. So it's kind of like, okay.
I was in the movies. And we were once again just felt that long, slow, rock you to sleep, but you're watching the movies. But everyone's cell phone went on at the same time, all the lights on the cell phone.
Wow, that's interesting.
And no one was complaining.
Yeah, we're like, hey, especially if you got your phones going off. Can you imagine? I mean, just like that's one thing, too, because I know they say in the event of an emergency, you don't want to be calling people directly connected to you. You want to do somebody out of your state. And find somebody that isn't local to you, that you can have them as a person that you'd actually call so the circuits don't get so busy. You're actually calling someplace out of the local area that might have any kind of a disaster. So just kind of an FYI for our listeners, that's something you want to think about.
I know when the quake happened in San Francisco, it took us quite a bit to reach somebody. That was somebody in New Mexico. Actually, and then they called around and called everybody and said we were okay. But a lot of times you don't see in the San Francisco case, all they saw was the marina burning, and everything else looked like it was, they didn't know. So that's the thing with, especially with this one in the Baja, the communication wasn't quite as up to date, but then it isn't there.
Right, right. Well, I know that I had heard reports of the kind of an update just news-wise from what we've had locally here in the Southern California area. They were saying they definitely were having the water problems where they were having to reset lines, and there were a few buildings and things that fell over, and it was mainly things falling over that were causing injuries and things like that. People kind of, you know, unfortunately you're in the wrong place at the wrong time when something like happens with an earthquake. So, but overall, considering, and I know that a lot of people had traveled to Mexico to celebrate Easter, and it's one of the holidays that people go there to really be with their families, and there were quite a few extra people, you know, in all the cities because of the holiday. So I think all in all, it could have been a lot worse than it was. So I was thankful to see how the energy had dissipated and it really kind of took care of itself without having any major things really happen.
I read something.
She's joined us for appetizers.
All right.
Okay, go ahead, Kath. She did a little bit on checking on the menu, so we were ready when we were going to check into that. Go, girl.
Al Diaz has joined us tonight.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's nice. Hey,
Hello,
Al.
Hello, everybody.
How are you?
Fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm good. Are you hungry? We're going to be checking our appetizers.
Well, I came here for the
appetizer tonight.
I came here for Monday. I have a take on this earthquake here, real quick.
Okay.
If you don't mind,
go ahead.
I don't know if you guys noticed it on the news, but I sure did, and I heard it quite a bit. Almost every, including the people in Pasadena that study this stuff, but almost every newscast I saw said that the energy from the quake went northwest from the epicenter. Well, guess what is northwest from that epicenter? L.A.
We are.
And you know, when I first heard it the first couple of times, I thought to myself, oh, that's interesting. But when I kept hearing it over and over, and even today I heard it quite a bit, in my mind I'm thinking, so what did that do to the San Andreas Fault?
Right. Mm-hmm.
If that energy went northwest, which is where we're at in L.A., I'm thinking to myself, okay, so it had to move something. It had to create pressure somewhere, you know. And you know, we're right next to the San Andreas Fault, so I'm just curious what that earthquake did to that fault that nobody's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I've heard predictions that that the quakes are moving up into Southern California. So we'll
there were actually four quakes in the Southern California area, but they were minor compared to the Baja one.
Mm-hmm.
Like one was in Malibu, felt there though. And
yeah,
reported.
One was in Julian, and one was in like Carlsbad, so they were kind of working their way up a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
So earthquake in Baja, earthquake in Julian, Flotopia in Santa Barbara. Is there any connection?
Well, that's why I was saying earlier in the show that. And I know I was interrupting while you were talking, but the little comment about how they're saying that, you know, nothing is connected, and yet how deep are they able to look? They don't know that it's not connected. They're
right.
making an
they
assumption
know.
Based upon those things that they consider to be a reality.
Right, right. And, I mean, you know, we don't want to be stirring up any kind of concerns and fear on a certain level when they really don't know. You know, what's really happening on a level, like with Gloria saying how deep this is really going. To me, it's a good news because it's a matter of the way everything was able to dissipate, and we've got these small tremors that are basically taking care of the energy instead of having it get so locked down. It's got to have something major happening. So it's almost like, you know, flexing your fingers as opposed to, you know, having one big pop or something happen. Like we keep going back to the whole thing about having things being adjusted like in a chiropractic kind of thing where, you know, you're getting these minor adjustments for the planet. Well, there's these little minor adjustments. It's like cracking your fingers as opposed to, you know, having a big blockage happening.
Right.
So, that's all good, you know.
Yeah, that's a very good way to phrase
pretty good it. Analogy. We could talk about other ways of analogizing that, but, you know, we could begin, you know, whatever. Anything else you wanted to comment on with that, Al?
Oh, no, I just wanted to bring that up. And one other interesting thing, I guess, people that normally don't care about earthquakes. At least, you know, my friends and stuff, or people that I hang out with on a daily basis, they kind of seem somewhat concerned about this earthquake. It's like, I mean, we just had one about a month or two ago, but it was like, I think it was a 4.0 or something in Pico Rivera, and nobody really talked about that one. And yet this one, people seem to be talking about it more. And I'm talking about people that normally don't care. But I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I think the fact that it was just such a long quake, it's not like you wouldn't have paid attention. You know, it wasn't just like a little tremor. It was definitely there for, I'm not exactly sure how long we had it, but it was at least almost 30 seconds to a minute. So we definitely were feeling for a little while. So
it's 35 seconds.
35 seconds?
That's all?
Yeah, it seemed like it was longer. It seemed like it was, more like about a minute, a little over a minute maybe. Of course, you know, I don't know. It depends on where you're at, too.
Just waving the water in our body, just wiggling along, waving along.
Yeah. we're just shaking and enjoying the ride. So there you go,
Yeah.
So
that's all you can do.
Yeah, I know Gloria, why don't you tell what happened with your stuff? Because she was closer to the epicenter.
Oh, you're closer.
She's San Diego, yeah.
Well, it's really interesting because I can feel the slightest. I've always been very sensitive to them. And I was sitting here and it started to go and I was like, oh, earthquake. And then it kept going and it was like, oh, it's still an earthquake. And then it didn't really get any less. And it wasn't that it got more. It's just that it lasted so long comparatively to ones that don't. So then my shelves in my office started to sway. The house is creaking. And I thought, oh, maybe I should get up and go stand in the doorway.
Yeah, right. Slowly get up and go stand in the doorway. Did you?
That's so Kathy and I were both saying it. You're just kind of waiting for the intensity. It's all the same kind of intensity. It's not like I'm going to, everybody was probably ready to bolt into a safer area, but it just never really happened. So, we all kind of wrote it out and said, oh, that was a lot longer. So,
and what's really interesting is that I was talking to someone else and I was sharing that when I lived up in the Irvine area, I was told that Irvine really would never suffer any serious earthquakes because the ground base, the underground structure of the earth is more of a sand water base. And so when you have an earthquake, the water will roll. And so it's more of a rolling versus that jolt. So I'm standing in the doorway and I'm visualizing this rolling. It's like, okay, we're going to roll, people. I talked to somebody later and they said that that's actually what did occur.
Huh. Well, every time you start feeling an earthquake, just start thinking, roll, baby, roll. Here we go.
Roll, baby, roll.
Roll with
roll,
it.
Roll, baby, roll.
These gentle waves just kind of like happening and dispersing it out. Well, I mean, that's kind of
relaxing.
What I kept thinking. Yeah, with the tsunami in Hawaii, that's what I was totally seeing, when I was, praying and asking that, that huge wave was just going to dissipate. So by the time it hit the island, it would just really be not much of anything because all the energy had been able to disperse itself just out in the ocean. And that's pretty much what happened. So there you go. I'd like, thoughts become things. There you go.
But people don't understand. Intention is extremely powerful.
Yeah, and just loving that and saying, oh, here you are, not getting afraid, not saying, oh, my gosh, I have to change this. It's just kind of going with the flow, going with the wave of the earth doing what she needs to do so we can all be in a place of just having that be a loving thing that she can take care of what she needs to do without having everybody be in a place of fear or, any more than change that needs to occur in the moment. Kind of thing.
I got a question for you ladies. Well, actually, and gentlemen, something you just said, and I'm just curious what your thoughts are. That's kind of a funny way to put it there. What's more powerful, intention or a thought?
To me, they're not any different.
They're one and the same?
Uh-huh. Well, the intention, they're different because intention is the way in which you hold your belief system, and the thought is... can be just an instantaneous flicker And it can have so much power. Some of the things that I have seen that man will be able to do in humanity's future, it's the power of a thought that will move people across galaxies. But the intention is that belief system, the faith that holds that thought in solidity. So it's probably about a 50-50.
Okay.
Kathy and I were listening to a conversation with this one guy today, and he was saying, he goes, "Oh man, that's a bunch of BS." And he said, "That's your belief system."
Isn't that strange that they share the same initials?
That's pretty good. Your BS is showing, man. I'm feeling good. Okay. We both laughed and said, "Hey, that's good. I haven't heard that one before." Okay. Your belief system. There you go.
I know we've already gone past this in the conversation, but I want to go back, and I just want to say that I'm going to be switching what I had said, because I said most people don't understand the power of intention. And
uh-huh.
I'm going to reframe that because,
uh-huh.
you know, obviously, you know, what you project is what you start to get. And I'm going to say that more and more people are understanding the power of intention.
There you go, girl. Very good.
Yes,
Friday,
I believe
that's good. Yeah.
I hear that in conversation all the time.
Well,
I
think we should intend to have some appetizers. So, Miss Kathy, what's our choices for tonight on the menu?
Well, we have good old spinach artichoke dip, woohoo! And blackened chicken and blue cheese quesadilla, or pot sticker.
Mm-hmm.
Or
okay.
coconut.
I was getting black and blue. I was seeing this fight going on.
Black and blue.
Poor little like chicken wings all, yeah.
Aww.
Well, I'm thinking we're just going at it.
We may want to leave them alone tonight and, you know, think about positive thought. And I think the artichoke dip would be just nice and tasty, guys. What do you think? Anybody else want something else to do? We can always have a couple out on the table. You know, that goes.
That does sound
good. You know
good,
me,
yeah.
I'm going to have a lot of that artichoke dip. I love that stuff. So there you go.
Oh, we better order two.
Yeah, okay, we'll order two of those. I'm going to get some sangria because we were talking about the wine last time, and it made me think, hey, I need another glass of wine. So there we go. Maybe we'll get a little craft. There we go.
Those are getting an early start on that.
Yeah, you watch out. Robin's already starting to be drinking here. Yeah, we're still young. So there we go.
Did I just hear you make a joke, the early bird?
Kathy had been sharing a story with me when we were talking after the last show, and I just thought it was really kind of interesting. So, hey, Kathy, why don't you tell us about you and Costco?
Oh, I was at Costco just before they closed the other night, and I purchased a fast-track transponder, which is the thing that you apply to your window, and then you can zoom into the toll roads and the toll lanes. And,
mm-hmm.
of course, they don't have it in the box. They have a plastic clamshell that's empty. So they were closing us up and pushing us out. So I went through the self checkout and bought all my things, scanned everything just like I was supposed to, and off I went to home. When I got home, I realized that, oops, I still had an empty clamshell. I had forgotten to go to the wire cage and get my actual transponder. So here I am. It's 10:00 at night, and I say, oops. What do I do with it now? So, anyway, that was my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. So, you know, there's a whole thing of, like, I was thinking of that in just kind of a spiritual perspective and just saying, you know, how many times have we created things and we've done all the work to walk through something, and then we recognize that we haven't really been willing to collect on, you know, the kind of reaping our good works. We kind of walk away from it without really, you know, following through and just doing that extra step. And Gloria had some really neat perspectives about that, about, you know, what kind of messages am I giving to the universe? And I really liked what Gloria had been sharing about that. So, Gloria, do you mind sharing what we talked about on that?
Well, you want to refresh me?
Well, okay. We were saying how, you know,
no,
you're going, yeah, it's already kicking in. There we go. I've already drank one glass because it tasted so good. So,
you tell people what I said.
I don't remember. No, the fact that when we're we're in the middle of making something, be it a project or a book or a writing or a class or whatever, and in our mind, we're already seeing it pretty much completed and we're happy with the product, but yet we don't follow it through to where we actually bring it out into the world and have it be something that we actually can benefit from, you know, be able to, you know, make money off of it and to be able to share it with other people and have it be something that benefits everybody. You know, it's a win-win for everybody when we actually get it out there as a product. And maybe even Al can kind of share on his things about, you know, since he has a couple books, he's been able to, you know, have out there and be working with that too on visualizing it and then actually creating it and then having it go out in the world. If you could kind of share about that too, Al, that would be a great thing.
Al took his appetizer and went home.
Oh, we did? Oh, that's okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, so Ms. Gloria.
Well, the whole process of, you know, what we were talking about is that I think, and it applies a lot now also because as time is speeding up, the thoughts that we have, we're actually creating it on a dimensional level,
mm-hmm.
whereas, you know, in our mind, it may not be physically created in this third dimension, yet it's being created on another dimensional level. And when we don't create it here, the people who are operating in this dimension don't necessarily get the benefit of it. And I've also heard the understanding that when you have a thought, that it goes into an etheric consciousness. And so if you don't invent it or create it, someone else will.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it just depends on whether or not you want to be the person who has the claim to fame.
Yeah, exactly.
That's interesting.
Well, and to me, that also goes back to just having these things that we could really be at a sense of perspective or understanding something. And I know when – do we have their speaker on? I'm really hearing an echo.
There is an echo. I don't know who that is. What is that?
Yeah. Gloria, do you have your speaker on?
I do, but I've had it on this whole time, and it just started.
It just started kicking in, yeah. So, but it's that whole thing about being willing to share on a level where we're having a win-win. And yeah, they're still there.
Yeah, I took myself off speaker.
Okay, anybody else?
No?
It's still kind of there.
No changes.
No, it's better now.
Oh.
It's better now.
Okay, you know, I just pushed away from my computer, the switchboard.
Oh. That's funny. We're all sensitive tonight. It's kind of like the earthquake.
Yeah.
It's kind of sensitive.
Here, let me get. I think I'll get some more vibes. More vibes here.
Okay. Have some more dip. The dips arrived, and you know, I'm gonna pour a little. Make sure my glass is full. Okay, there we go.
Oh boy.
So, anything? What about you, Jamie? Anything with that about thinking you're forgetting something, or you don't collect on something, and have what is that kind of a lesson for you?
In my business and my profession, and sometimes that's what you can base your observations on. There is definitely with what I do, I have to be perfect in what I do, or else it's never going to be right. And
mm-hmm.
it's hard to read minds, and trying to make somebody's expectation a reality or their fantasy reality as far as an image that they're going to make an indelible mark with on their skin and what it represents. It's really strange in that respect. But I'm kind of just talking myself in a circle.
The echo.
What it comes down to, I think, is just your
I think it's the thing.
If you see something in your head, you're an artist and you're trying to produce that, you try to do it the best you can. If not, then I guess you could try it again and again and again until you do get it right. Although practice makes perfect, you know?
Yeah. There's a quote that says that you can see it in your mind, you can bring it into reality.
And yet, as an artist, when you put it on paper, it's like you just can't always get that right shade of red, or you can't get the curve like what you see in your mind. It's like that itch you can't scratch.
It's that motor skill, mind-hand motor skill.
you get one of those long, you know, when you go to the Five and Dime and it has that really long pole that you can use for a back scratcher.
But Gloria, you're right,
if you know.
Especially with me, I see beautiful, beautiful things in my mind, and stick figures come out of my hand.
Yeah, so it's just like, fine, that's the one thing of being able to be gifted in a way that you can, even if you can't do it yourself, being able to find someone who can almost share the vision with you and how powerful
right.
that can be with it. So, you know, that just kind of goes back to Costco and you know, Kathy's bought the package, and by the time we get to the checkout, I'll go, oh, let me grab that for you, and I'm going to go get that transponder, okay?
Yeah, and the key here was the self-checkout.
It's the buddy system.
We can't use them anymore. No more. It's the personal
no
touch.
More.
All the
you
way.
Gotta have
that's
a
right.
buddy system.
That's right. It's
you buy one thing, and it's you know, there's no little you know container that's got to go get something else. So there you go. New rule. Well,
right.
you know, as we modify, we have to have new little rules, and there's just with things I just don't do anymore because I realize it's just not in my best interest. So that's okay.
Yeah,
when I was a child,
really
I thought.
Good it feels when you do finally scratch that itch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is, again, it goes
I experienced that.
Yeah, and now that I'm an adult, I know better, and I know that doesn't serve me. So I bring a buddy with me, so it's okay. But even when you're a kid, buddy systems work good, too. So there you go.
I'm here.
Go ahead.
I am so glad you said that because I recently I have had this project that I've had in my mind for over 13 years now, and I finally made it, and when I was finishing it, it was just like, oh, it was just ecstasy beyond. It was just like, this is what I should be doing. It was so awesome, and I had never experienced that level, and it was just for the briefest of moments, but it was so authentic, and it was so awesome.
Yeah, I did that for 20 years. And my husband said that he was jealous because I always had energy. I was never tired. I was energized at the office. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was fabulous. So I know
what
you're talking
about. When you do what you love and you get the gratification from that, you just can keep going and going and going because you're constantly feeding your creative source. You're creating your
heart.
Yeah, and that's really what it's all about. So,
it is.
Very cool.
For 2 days now, I have not slept, and the energy level just continues to go.
Is it because of that project?
Oh,
I think it was because of
it's all the project. It's all the project.
Oh,
all
dessert.
The project.
Multitasking project.
She's just feeding that creative source. Like you probably, well, I know Gloria had shared with me before that she was just kind of in this place of almost like an incubancy, you know, like being in the cocoon and waiting for herself to come out. And then once you come out, there you go. Okay, you've had that slumbering for so long, and now you're just exploding with all kinds of ideas and creativity, and things are finally having a sense of fruition about them.
You know, as an artist, I also think that it's hard to, I mean, if you're a trained artist, it's hard to capture that childlike creativity and innocence. When you see kids draw, it's so pure. And when you're an adult and you try to be free, it's really hard for being in structure. You know, you're so used to having it a certain way.
I think sometimes it's fun just to go get a coloring book and some crayons and you give yourself permission to color outside the lines and do it all
right.
You know, with weird stuff you normally, you know, you make a purple tree and, you know, whatever, you know, you just whatever, just make it opposites and doing it with your opposite hand, the non-dominant hand, and with just, you know, wild colors to kind of break out of some old patterns that you have. Things like that are always fun.
It's always good to be fresh and be positive and go in a different direction.
It's just like, you know, go to work a different way than you normally do. Just like break some of your routines. Yeah, brush your teeth with your non-dominant hand. There's all kinds of ways that you can just kind of shake things up a little bit.
Allow yourself to miss your turn.
I know.
Uh-oh. The waiter's here to take our order for the main course.
Okay. So what are our choices for main course tonight? What's the blue plate special?
The blue plate special. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going comfort classics? Grilled beef liver. Woohoo! Now let's see.
And onions.
If you're going to have onions, right?
I think so.
I'll watch you guys eat those, okay? I'm just going to watch.
Right. Yeah, really. Grilled onion. Sauteed
onion.
It's
an acquired taste.
Yeah, it is an acquired taste. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll go for the meatloaf. How about that?
Yeah, the meatloaf.
Hey, Kath, you want to split the meatloaf? We'll split the meatloaf.
Yeah.
Kath and I
okay.
like to split meals too, because we're just like, you know, that way we have room for dessert. We don't feel guilty as much.
Yeah.
It's all about portions. You do portions, you don't feel so bad. So.
Right.
Moderation.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, we
were not
even
any self here, guys.
Here.
Okay. There we go. That's good. So let's go ahead and go back into the main course. Tonight we were going to be talking about Haiti and catching up maybe with a little bit of Chile, since we were looking at the earthquakes again and what was happening with everything. So,
yeah, but what about a lot of Chile?
Yeah, what a lot of Chile.
Different
kind of
Chile.
No, yeah, that's a different kind of Chile. What are you talking about? But with Hades, we were talking about the update of looking at how they're now being assisted with their recovery, and the organizers said it seemed to be really making a difference. And, Gloria, did you have anything you wanted to talk about with that?
Well, I did a lot of research on that, and I honestly did not find too many resources of people reporting on the accomplishments that are happening or the progress of any description. There is really no one source that seems to stand out to say that they are either meeting or failing to meet any kind of markers. And there was one organization only, and they were talking about all the rice that they were supplying and that they had so much money earmarked, and they would be releasing it periodically to be able to help support their infrastructure. They're starting with the food, and then they're going to be working with medical stuff. But the more research that I did, and I was looking at the amount of money that we already give to Haiti on a regular annual basis.
They've been doing that for
about
30 years, though, too.
Well,
yeah.
They had food wars. There was a, with the fall of the doctor, I've forgotten his name now, Doc, Baby Doc is who they called him.
Duvier?
Yes.
Baby, right.
And when he left, the political system, again, as natural, came into play and began to ask Haiti to lower their tariffs, I think it was, and their controls based upon rice being their main source of income and revenue for the GNP. And when they did that,
really?
We had all of the American farmers that are subsidized come in with cheaper grain, basically put them out of business, and they no longer even have a way to be able to grow rice or have subsistence on their own. And so the U.S. has really contributed to the issues that they're experiencing. And then with the graph and the political machine that they have in place, a lot of the monies that are coming in don't get there. And so, you know, you look at these telethons and stuff that people are doing, and you've got countries, you've got Israel, you've got the EU that have contributed, you've got the world organizations that immediately passed funding. And I was looking, and they were saying that Canada is supplying approximately the same amount of money that the U.S. is supporting or providing. So you have so many people who are supplying money, and then I see reports where someone is accusing the Red Cross of only coming up with a third of the monies that have been promised. You know, they're talking about internal corruption again. Well, there was a big scandal with the Red Cross years ago, and so I know that they had made an extreme effort from the top down. They had a shakeout years ago, so that they would not have that come up as an issue again. So there's so many dynamics, and yet there's not one resource that says whether or not they're failing or hitting markers. Nobody's even saying what their markers are. There's no plan either before the system failed through having the earthquake come and hit them and devastate everything. People were already living in conditions that are probably, other than having a roof over their head, you know, they didn't necessarily have a lot of money for food. They would make, you know, they had a certain amount of money, but when they had the increase in cost, the living expenses, they could barely afford to buy the rice that they used to get with a little bit of coal. You know, so I don't, having every everything fall down around them in so much death and sorrow and pain and not having the medical stuff that they need to be able to support the devastation that has occurred, the situation is still as dire as it was before the earthquake hit, and even more so now.
Yeah, I had done some research on one group in particular called the Samaritan's Purse, and it's actually an international Christian relief, non-denominational worldwide network that they have, where they actually work out of 20 churches pretty much into the United States. And basically they were really representing it as a place where they're pooling their resources for food, blankets, showing the Haitians how to be able to have purifying water and bringing in food and things like that with the rice and stuff. They were also showing the orphanages and how they were actually teaching the children how to clear land and be able to plant seeds and how to keep their generators and stuff going to where they weren't really relying on really adults on a certain level to be able to take care of one another. So at this one orphanage that they had basically come in to support, there was like 140 kids. And they were showing a video of that, of like half of them were still in a hospital, you know, basically in a medical situation when they were filling tasks and things like that from the earthquake. And a lot of these kids just basically don't have parents anymore. So it was basically going in there, really supporting them on a lot of different levels, you know, emotionally and then physically and then spiritually on whatever level they were willing to be able to receive that. So it was very, very touching and very nice to see that, you know, they're really trying to reach out. And one of the cool things they were showing on that site, it was SamaritansPurse.org, if anybody wants to check out that, was showing that there are so many people that have signed up to volunteer and they're no longer taking people because they're below, they're waiting for people. Yeah, they have all the medical volunteers that they possibly could need. They have all the people who have been trained in emergency. I think that's one thing that people need to think about is, you know, if I can go out and do some kind of Red Cross training, if I can go out and maybe get, you know, take maybe 3 to 6 months and get trained in some emergency stuff, that's something I'd be wanting to do, to go overseas or even take it locally to be able to assist people in the event that there was an emergency and I could basically utilize my services. So because
there's I have a jingle
people.
For that.
What?
Huh? I have a jingle for that.
Go ahead.
We are all connected in the web of love. Love flows around us. Love flows through us. We're all connected in the web of love. We are all related in the web of life. Life flows around us. Life flows through us. We're all related in the web of life. We're all connected in the web of love. Love flows around us. Love flows through us. We are all connected in the web of love.
Very good.
Yeah. That's so good. Thank you, Kathy. So, yeah, we are totally all connected in the web of love. I mean, really, that's what it's all about. And really, that's great. That's a great little jingle, too, because it's reminding us of what Haiti, on a spiritual level, was really all about. It was all of us coming from our hearts and just showing what we were capable of doing when we wanted to come from a place of just being willing to help another and what that would look like.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is frustrations on a level of having it keep continuing to be out there and being it productive and keeping it very much real and real life of, you know, these are things people are facing and challenging, but yet, you know, people still knowing on whatever level that, you know, the Haitian people do know there are people out there who love and care and want them to do well. So it's a matter of they're seeing outside forces in the world that are wanting to help them just to be able to grow internally.
Yeah. That's well said.
Thank you.
One of the things,
though,
one of the things that I found during the research I was doing was kind of a surprising attitude, and I know that there's always, you know, two sides to every coin. And I was reading some of the comments by some of the people who are teenagers in early 20s, and there was a lot of resentment for people asking them to donate money when they're looking at the condition of the country that they're existing in.
Huh.
So there was a kid who was in northern Las Vegas, and he was saying, I live in poverty, and these people want me to give money?
Mm-hmm.
So I found it kind of an interesting perspective, because you have all levels of people that are interacting here.
So when it's that, it's from that sense of what I have as opposed to another has.
Right.
It's all that, like you're saying, the perspective, too, of you know, yes, being in the place is challenging in Las Vegas, as well as, you know, living and having literally nothing when in Haiti and having to live in basically rubble and not even having clean water and what that would look
and
like.
Yet,
so it's a matter of, you know, just
people,
basic needs being cared for.
Yeah, and yet the people asking for money have no clue what the person in Las Vegas knew what their income level is.
Mm-hmm. And, you know,
doesn't
it's one of those
doesn't it also happen with so many things that they ask for charity or donations that after a while it just there's no more to give, or people think that they can't, or burned out on that kind of too, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's always going to be that high point of people kind of reaching out when, in a sense of like the emergency. It's just like with 9/11, there was such a surge of people, I know, within the first 3 months or so of everybody kind of coming off at shell shock. And then being in a place of, you know, how do we move forward and what does that look like? There's that personal level that everybody has to go back into to be able to have it shift and look at it from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's part
we
of the growth,
Jamie.
Part of the healing. Yeah.
We well, you know what?
People.
You had people that were commenting in some of these forums that were from New Orleans, and they were saying, you know, we are not healed yet. We still have things that, you know, we still, there are some of us who still don't have homes. There are some of us who still don't have jobs. And, you know, there was quite a bit of input from people who were there as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, even if you look at the documentaries now with New Orleans and what it is still like down there, I mean, it's still a very devastated area. And,
yeah,
you know,
you have
it's really some
going
level,
on.
Right, still such a level of shame on how, as a nation, we really weren't there for one another. You know, there's so much that got
right.
done. And then, you know, because of resources, it's just like, okay, the next disaster, where do we go now? Instead of really, you know, locking down, sitting down and saying, these are things that we need to be helping our people with and what we can do with that. So, I mean, so we looked for President Bush on a level when he would just couldn't rise to the occasion. Or it's just a multiple of complexities that really get involved with all that on a certain level. But then simplistically, it's just like I show up and I help. What does that look like? You know, there's different ways of being able to be able to address the situation.
Oh, it's time for dessert.
Dessert. Okay. What are our choices for dessert? There we go.
Well, let's see. We have a mousse, chocolate mousse. We have
mm-hmm.
chocolate brownie, bread pudding.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
see. The ever popular nectarine cobbler?
Yeah.
We're going to get a nectarine cobbler because Jamie just liked that so much last week. We'll have to get another one of those.
Okay. Nectarine cobbler tastes great.
Yeah, and I'm we'll get some vanilla because we definitely want to make that a la mode, okay?
Okay. With vanilla.
Or yeah.
No
with
lemon
the
mousse.
Vanilla
we can have lemon mousse, too.
Ooh, lemon mousse. That sounds good. Okay, lemon mousse, the nectarine cobbler with some ice cream. There we go. A la mode.
There we go. And 25 forks, please.
Oh, no.
Get that many people on. Okay, that's good. We're just, you know, we get out on the table. We're going to share with everybody.
That's right, with everyone.
Yeah. And I have our after dinner mint for those of you guys who just want to be, you know, just conscientious about your sugars. You're not going to really kind of go there. You know, if you used to have your calories in a different way, that's okay. So the quote for this week is going to be, there is no chance, no destiny, no fate that can circumvent or hinder or control the firm resolve of a determined soul.
Oh, that's intention.
Yeah. There is no chance, no destiny, no fate that can circumvent or hinder or control the firm resolve of a determined soul. So it's kind of going back to Al's question, you know, is there a difference between thought and intention? And you've got a determined soul. There you go, you know. When there's a will, there's a way.
Well, there's a will, there's a way, right. That's another way of saying it.
Exactly.
Right?
And that's so true. That's true. I mean, you think of all the inventions and everything that's been created in the world. If somebody didn't say, you know, how do you think you could do that? Because I know I can. I had a really cool story. I was listening to Wayne Dyer again today, and he was sharing about when he was about 8 years old, he used to pretend that he was on the Tonight Show with, the first guy who was the host.
The very first host of this night show?
Yeah.
That would be Jack Parr.
Okay, who was after Jack Parr?
Johnny Carson.
No.
It was Steve Allen, Jack Parr, Johnny Carson.
It was Steve Allen, yeah. So he was
one of the
hosts, and he was about maybe, I think, 8 or 10 or something. And go forward in the future, and he went ahead and wrote his book, the first book of the Erroneous Zone. And he got invited to be on the Tonight Show, and Johnny was on, but Steve Allen was the first guest.
Oh.
So he got to talk with Steve Allen about himself and everything before he talked to Johnny Carson. So he fulfilled that fantasy of his destiny when he was 10 years old, and he was on it like what? I think he was 33 by the time it happened. So it took like what? 23 years.
Wow.
But he fulfilled that destiny. He fulfilled that destiny. It was a soul that was destined to meet Steve Allen.
That's right. That's what happened.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just like, how long do I hold on to something like that? And even when he was, you know, playing around in the living room pretending that he had been on the Tonight Show, his family's just like, are you crazy? Why would you say that? That's why you're saying something like that, you know? He says, because if I don't say it, how is it ever going to be true?
Right.
Right.
I had a performance review in the 80s. It was really the first one I had. And the person asked me, where do you see yourself? What do you want to do? You know, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I said, well, I'll just reach for the sky, and I want to be vice president of this company.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm shooting for. And within about 2 years, I was a vice president. It was not of that company, and I didn't tell him that company because that was just assumed. But within 2 years, I was a vice president.
Well, you know, it's kind of like careful what you ask for. You just might get it.
Right. It was with my own little company, you know. But
But I mean, you know, it goes back to our conversation we had a couple shows ago about the universe is always saying yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
So what are you asking for? What are you putting out there for yourself when it comes to your thoughts and your intentions? And
right.
Just know that the universe says, oh, okay, that's what you want. Okay, yes, we can say yes to that. So, you know, might as well make them big, grand things and have them be fun and wonderful and joyful, and, you know, it's all good. It's all good, you know. We can have everyone all over the world comfortable and in safe homes with enough to eat, and that, you know, everything is divided equally because, you know, over and over again it shows that, you know, we have enough resources for everyone to be in a place of comfort, you know. No one has to be in a place of, you know, lack for all those kinds of things. So it can be all really good.
That's right. That's
the
right.
Being
and
very quiet over there.
I'm never quiet.
I'm eating my dessert.
You're just like, don't bug me, I'm eating. Well, I have like what? I think like half a glass of sangria left. Does anybody want that, or should I make sure that I take care of that for everybody?
It's all you.
It's all me. Okay. All right. Okay. I might have to have somebody give me a ride home because you know how that goes.
Right. Who's driving you home?
Yeah. Really. I think Kathy.
Well,
Kathy can give me a ride home. So it's all good. Okay. Oh, Jeannie, I wanted to tell you I went to go see to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, the dragon training, right?
Yeah, that is a very wonderful movie. Really enjoyed it.
Was it 3D?
It was 3D. We went to the early matinee, so it wasn't so expensive. See, that's how you do it.
Oh, well.
Well,
yeah, that
was not so much. There you go.
Well, it averages like 12 something. I don't know about down there, but up here it's about 12 some a ticket.
Yeah,
right,
we
like 13.
Yeah, we paid about I think about 10 apiece with
our. Oh, that's good.
So
we saved a little bit
on it. Yeah, we saved a little bit on that, so that's okay.
I think we're gonna go see Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that because that's another one. It's interesting how many movies are 3D. It's almost like you can keep a good you get a good pair of 3D glasses and all of this, you know, save them and throw them someplace because you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to the movies again. There we go.
Well, you know what they're talking about now? It's the 3D TV.
Yeah,
okay.
About that.
I knew there was a reason I was waiting for that.
You know, but
I was waiting to buy a new one.
My daughter was saying how she was concerned about that. You know, she's like, what, 22? And she's just like, all these people are going to have just their depth perception is going to get all messed up because they're watching all this different stuff, and it's just going to mess everybody's perspective, you know, their depth perception up.
Perhaps.
Yeah. She needs to not worry about that. She can worry about other things.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I just thought that was kind of like, wow, she's worried about that. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, we always think it's the bigger, better thing. Oh, too, I was noticing on the news tonight that they're talking again about raising the penalties for texting and cell phones while you're in your car. Remember,
uh-huh.
We were talking about that with a Conscious Innovation about how, you know, they're just not the penalties aren't high enough, so people are still doing, you know, riding, driving around your car and that kind of stuff. So it sounds like they're going to be up in the ante.
And it does happen, believe me. I stand at the bus
stop
and I watch people talk all the time on the phone. Yes.
Yeah, I'm always seeing that happening. Yeah, so very, very interesting.
Yeah, my cousin got in an accident.
Mm-hmm.
She was looking up somebody's phone number and in the center lane and went ahead and hit the center divider.
Oh, my.
Ooh.
Nobody else was in it, just her. But she goes, man, it's my fault because I was looking at my, you know, going through my contact list.
So I saw an accident today where somebody had the whole front of the car had been smashed. You could tell it was just, like, not paying attention. There wasn't really any other car involved with it. So.
Well, you know, it only takes a second, and that's all it takes, or less than that.
Well,
even.
It just takes a second.
Kind of go back to Oprah, where she was just basically really asking everyone to take an oath that they weren't going to use their cell phone in their car. So there you go. You know,
well,
I hold it or not.
We'll either call back or you pull off and talk to somebody.
Well, you could pull off. You're not going to drive and use your cell phone at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. So that's basically kind of the oath that she was asking people to take, because there's just so many accidents and deaths created by it. It's just. I don't know. It's the same thing as like any other, when it comes to a sense of responsibility. It was almost like, you know, cigarette companies, with just knowing that when people smoke, they're basically, you know, just shortening their lives. You know, creating a product like that, knowing that it's, you know, it's causing harm to people. But, you know, it's all by personal choice and how you use the product too. So, but yet it's still having something like that where there's a level of responsibility with having something out there that can cause a lot of, you know, death to people if they're not careful.
Right.
So it's just kind of interesting with that different stuff. So there you go. So, okay. So next week we're going to hopefully have our, you know, the new kids on the block and talking about intuition and talking about the different experiences that we've been talking about with the kids coming in that just really are sensing and understanding things at a different level and really kind of having some fun with that. So we're looking forward to having that on the show as well. So. Anything else, Jamie, that you had seen in the news that you thought was real interesting for kind of a last-minute thing?
Other than I did see something about Haitian relief that there are people scamming people for. And, of course, that's going to happen with any type of charity or disaster. And I guess that was...
Do you have a name of who that was that we can kind of give a heads-up to people that they were scamming?
It was on the Facebook, and it was most of people pledging stuff, and I got something off of, let's see here, it's a Facebook full of Haitian fundraisers, and that was on Red Tape Chronicles.
Okay, so go online and check out the Red Tape Chronicles, and if you guys interested on... having something
there
that would
be some interesting
for
stuff
fundraising.
About that, and you know where all the money's going.
Yeah. Okay. All right, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week, and we thank our listeners. So, Miss Gloria.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and very unusual dinner conversations. And you, we are so glad you decided to join us. You make it so special for all of us, and we're always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by checking out our website, transformation-cafe.com. Where all our previous shows are available on demand or here at blogtalkradio.com/transformationcafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest guest, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time. Good night.